WBTWAK, Bermuda, Peter. This is a direct ignite, and as such, all transmission Bermuda is the direction and discretion of net control. Please do not break the net without first obtaining permission from net control, unless you have emergency or priority traffic. If you have such traffic, drop your call sign at any time, stating you have emergency or priority traffic. On the hobby of DXing with an emphasis on scanning in the tri-state metropolitan region. For those of you wishing to check into the net, please use the hesitation method stating this is, then let the carrier drop until you hear the beep tone. Then check in with your call sign, first name, and let us know whether or not you have traffic. Please use common sense regarding the passing of surveillance frequencies and or fleet codes. The repeater 146805 is located in Plainview and requires the use of a 136.5 PL. The repeater uses a negative shift input, and it appears that the positive 600 shift input may not be available for this evening's session. For those of you who wish to check in, please do so now. Okay, hearing nothing, if there is anyone out there in the vast listening audience, the next meeting is third Thursday of February. I don't have the exact date, but whatever the third Thursday is. And we'll be meeting at Perkins Family Restaurant on Old Country Road in Farmingdale at 7:30 p.m. Those of you wishing to contact us by email, contact either me at kc2ayqsl.net, or you can reach Charlie, KB2UBB, at lima73@aol.com. If you wish to write to us, you can reach us at P.O. Box 308, Cedarhurst, New York, 11516, and just address it to Ed E.D. We'd like to acknowledge that we received something from James in Elmont this week, an advertisement on the Racing Electronics handheld scanner. Thank you, James. In fact, I do have one of those scanners. I look for a view of it in the next issue of Scanning USA magazine. Also, I'd like to acknowledge we got some shortwave information from our friend R in Bridgeport, which I will use for my own use. Thank you, R. Okay, once again, I'll drop one more time and see if there's anyone who would like to check in.
AC2AYC. Here is N2XOJ. Good evening, Ed. I hold no traffic.
KC2ED. Good evening, Ed.
Ed would like to recognize Alec, N2XOJ, and Rich, KG2ED. This is? KC2BZD, Joe, with a question on shortwave. Ed would like to recognize Joe, KC2BZB. Alright, let me just mention a couple of other things, and maybe we'll get a few stragglers coming in here. Either of the three of you gentlemen, if you're at all interested, or anybody listening, you're monitoring 46.100, and more specifically 46.200. There seems to be, there is a house fire, and it appears to be rather large. It's been going on for the last half hour or so in Lawrence, and about 15 minutes ago, a call for mutual aid had been going out for like the last hour, but they've called in Long Beach to send an engine and a hook and ladder. So usually if something's going on in Lawrence, you get Inwood, Wood near Hewlett. So now they're reaching out to Long Beach. So apparently something's going on. One of the other mutual aid calls was for something called a heavy rescue to act as a fast SAST team. Not quite sure what I've also heard the term before as a fast truck. Not quite sure what that is. If any of our fighter friends are listening, maybe they can clear that up at some point. Alright, let me stand by one more time and take some additional check-ins. If not, we'll go over to Joe KC2B to be with his question. But let's stand by at this time.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Alpha Echo Foxtrot. Mike with no traffic.
I would like to recognize Mike, KC2AEF. Good evening.
And how you doing? I just wanted to pay my condolences about your computer. I was wondering if you could give us an update on that. I was kind of freaked out to hear all the trouble you've been having.
Okay, Mike. Glad you brought it up and not me. Well, the good news is I got a call from Houston. Houston, we have a problem. Anyhow, I got a call from this woman in Compact who's been helping me for the last 10 days or so. And yesterday morning, and I almost fell off the chair because she asked me to update her on what was going on. And both Friday and Saturday, and I had taken trips out to Islandia at the service center, and they messed it up even worse. So she turned around and said, well, I have the authority to work out an exchange for you. So she worked it out. It took a day or so, and I went down today to PC Richards. What they did, I returned the old computer to PC Richards. Comcast bought it back from PC Richards. Interesting, last night I got a new Daymark catalog in the mail, and in the back in their refurbished section, they had my computer, my exact computer for sale. So I'm kind of wondering, maybe that entire line was a lemon, because they have enough of them that they're selling them as refurbs through Daymark. So I went down today, and they offered me, for the same price, a computer that was considerably better than what I had, because the one I had is not, you know, was bought in May, and you know how fast things go with computers. They're outdated like a week after you buy it. But what I wound up doing, I actually invested a little bit more money, and I got the top of the line, which it wasn't that much more money, less than we would spend on a scanner. But I got a lithium ion battery and double the RAM. So worked out good. Thanks for asking, Mike.
You betcha. I'm glad it worked out for you. There seems to be a God out there somewhere. Good to hear from you, and I'll be listening in, Ed. Good luck, Ed.
Hey, I'll just stand by, see if we have anybody else. And once again, it appears the positive input is down. I checked it about an hour ago. So if you're trying to get in and can't, you might try using the plain view input again at the 136.5 PL. All right, let's go over to Joe, KC2BZB. KC2AYC, KC2BZB. Yeah, just a small question, and I'm sure there's a few people with the answer to this. I'm just trying to remember, shortwave propagation. So I usually listen to various stations in and around the 49 meter band at night. Now if I remember right though, the that's like a 6 megahertz area. There are certain frequencies, and if I remember right, and this is what I just want someone to fill me in, I think it's above 12 megahertz, where they actually come embedded during the day than at night. That's my question. Back to net control.
KC2AYC.
I see in the net. Okay, Joe. We'll let that one sit. Maybe our buddy R. Get back to us for next week on that. I hate to be remiss, but I used to know the basic. There was a basic theory about the higher the frequency, the lower the frequency, and the time of day. But I'm drawing a mental blank right now on shortwave. Literally, I've practically, with the exception of going to a movie Saturday night, going to a friend's house to watch the Super Bowl Sunday, with the exception of running out to the post office and here and there, I've literally been locked in my room since Thursday trying to straighten out this computer. And the two trips to Islandia to the service center. So my brain is practically fried. Well, I'm drawing a blank on that question, Joe.
N2AH, good evening.
N2AH, good evening, Art. Art might be able to answer your question, Joe. Art, did you hear the question, or do you want to have him ask it again?
I heard it. That's why I jumped in. Basically, during the day, during midday, is when you have the highest MUF, maximum usable frequency. So the frequency is above 10 megahertz, tend to be daytime, best during the daytime. And the frequencies below 10 megahertz tend to be the best at nighttime. Back to net.
KN2AH, thanks for joining us. Hope everything's okay. We haven't spoken with you in a while.
2XOJ for your fast truck.
Okay, let's pick up N2XOJ.
Realize this is changing the subject, Ed, but you had asked or heard the expression of fast truck, that is the letters FAST. The FAST stands for Firefighter Assist and Search Team, and it's considered to be the last due letter on any second or more alarm in the Big Apple, and its function is to assist any firefighters that may be in trouble, and of course the same would hold for Nassau County. Back to net and to XOJ.
2XOJ, KC2AYC. Very good, Alex. Thanks for that additional fill. And I believe that was going on Meadow Lane in Lawrence. Well, I urge no one to go to the scene. It's a residential area. You'll only get in the way. All right. At this time, we'll move over to a little fan mail from our friend R in Bridgeport, who sends us some information on the Armed Forces Network. AFRTS seems to be adding more programming, so it may go on for some time. It was supposed to close out in October, November, or December, but still may find activity on 4278.5, 6458.5, 12.6895.5, all upper sidebands. It's a good idea to send out a reception report and get a QSL card and tell them you enjoy the service. Again, I'll go over those frequencies a little more slowly. 4278.5, 6458.5, and 12.6895.5. R goes on to say there are changes at Radio Budapest, Hungary. Half hour English North American service at 0200 UTC on 6135 and 9835. Then at 0330 UTC on 6020 and 9835. Now, R stumped me on this one. Get a little reference here to pronunciation, but he didn't spell it phonetically, and I'm usually good with Russian and Slavic pronunciations, but I'm going to spell this one. Radio KYRGYZ. It's a government station out of, looks like Kyrgyzstan, in English, from 0010 to 0024 UTC on 4010 and 4050. Alright, at this time I'll stand by for anyone with any additional comments or questions or any additional check-ins. This is KC2AYC.
And 2APG with a query for the net.
Says, and 2BRA with some traffic and info. Good evening.
Good evening. The net would like to recognize N2APG and N2VRA. Let's pick up N2APG with his query.
No, I can't beat that for quick service. Good evening, Ed, and rest of the net, N2APG. Name is Dave, QTH in Massapequa. This should be a simple one for you experienced scanner listeners. Occasionally when I'm scanning the state police on 155.46, most of the time you hear both sides of the conversation. I hear the Farmingdale, you know, base station and the mobile units, but on occasion it sounds like they might be operating split frequency. I hear the mobile units fine, and they're obviously talking to their Farmingdale base station, but I don't hear the base station on that frequency. So I was just wondering if anybody knows, do they operate split frequency on occasion, or, you know, do the mobile units receive two frequencies at once? Because sometimes it sounds like the base station is not transmitting on that frequency, but obviously the mobile units are talking to them.
N2APG, KC2AYC. Good question, Dave, and you've stumped me. Never experienced that. I usually monitor that frequency, in my regular primary bank, but can't say I ever experienced it. I'll have to pay a little closer attention. You said you heard the base and not the mobile units. I might have had a good explanation for you, because fairly certain that simplex operation on that frequency. State Police True Bell doesn't have one of the best radio systems. You know, out east on 155.505, they operate split. But let me stand by and see if any of our other astute listeners have experienced this.
KC2BZB?
CRA with additional comments.
Okay, KC2BZB and N2VRA are recognized. Let's pick up KC2BZB first.
KC2AYC, KC2BZB. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that there definitely is a simplex frequency. Apparently, they don't think True Bell is important enough to warrant a repeater system. So they are definitely simplex. And I know myself, a lot of times I hear the bass and not the mobile, unless I'm very close. Back to that.
Okay, thank you for that info, Joe. And let's send it over to N2VRA.
Thank you, Mr. Ed. Good evening to you and the net. You might want to keep an ear on 155.565. That's an interesting state frequency. And keep in mind, too, that some of the cars have mobile repeaters. Got it.
KC2AYC in the net. One final note on as far as 155.460. Outside of the True Bell area, that frequency is used for the governor's protection detail. One time back in 96, I happened to be up in Garrison, which is where his personal residence is, before he became governor. The group ACT UP, which is an AIDS activist group out of New York City, I guess. You go to Garrison, it's this very quaint Westchester
hamlet right on the Hudson. Kind of thing where you would expect to see Sheriff Barney Fife on duty, you know? Real quaint, small town place. This group decided to march through Garrison. I happened to, unfortunately, just be passing through doing some sightseeing. So I threw on my scanner, and lo and behold, 155.46 was active, and the state police were swarming all over the place. So, conditions are right, and you're floating around Westchester or something, you may hear some activity you didn't intend on hearing on that frequency. Another question I might have, I'm curious, does anyone know if the troopers have handy-talkies? Like, I don't think I've ever seen a trooper with a handy-talkie, and if they did, I would think they have mobile extenders in the car. But I never heard any mention of that. Let me stand by and see if anybody wants to comment.
To XOJ.
Okay, N2XOJ, I heard you. Stand by 1 second. I don't know if there was a second station who was off frequency or if it was somebody doubling. So let me stand by and see if there was another station after N2XOJ.
KC2BZB.
And 2APG.
Okay, I was writing that down. So I've got XOJ, BZB, and APG. Let's pick up Alec in 2XOJ, and then I'll go down this little sublist.
Okay, Ed, pertaining to the state police having handy talkies, they do, yes. We, as you know, do, among other things, in Aries, the Long Island bike tour in the fall of the year, and we work in cooperation with the New York State Police Department, and they certainly do have handy talkies. Back to that, N2XOJ.
Okay, thank you, Alec. Let's pick up KC2BZD.
2BZD. They do have handy talkies, and I know they are just about useless most of the time. There might be some areas they're pretty good at. Years ago, you might know, there was another outside group, private volunteer group, that actually had offered state police to let them use their repeaters. Now, of course, you can imagine that would be a logistical nightmare. Although I understand at the lower levels, the state police were in favor of it. When I heard about the plan, I didn't understand how it could ever work. It's, you know, contrary to the licensing of the repeater, so on and so forth. But that shows you how bad their radio system is that they would even consider this. And it actually gotten pretty far, I understand. If you want me to elaborate, let me know. Otherwise, I'll leave it like that. Back to net control.
C2BZD. I remember the story. I think we're better off leaving the names out to protect the innocent. All right, let's pick up N2APG.
Okay, basically just another confirmation. They do have HTs. Just a couple of days ago, I heard one of the mobile units state that he was going to be at his home residence on Neal, but he was had his portable with him. So obviously they do have HTs.
Okay, Dave, thanks for that additional info. So I'd be curious to find out if they have mobile extenders or not. For instance, like the Maryland State Police, I think it was, they've got one frequency that the mobile extenders work on. If you hear activity on that, you know they're close around. I don't know how New York works. All right, let me stand by. I know, Dave, we really never got you the answer you were looking for, but at least it spurred a little discussion. Let's stand by for any additional check-ins. This is KC2AYC in the net. On the state police issue before we move on to Frank and 2VRA. 2WWM checking in.
And APG.
Okay, N2WWM is recognized as a check-in. Put you down with info, Curtis, because I know you probably have something to say. And let's pick up Dave, N2ATG.
Yeah, just an additional comment on the state. I know they have like 5 or 6 different frequencies available to them. At least that's, you know, what's published in the books and stuff. They probably have a lot more than that. But I get the impression that possibly their radios, you know, have like a dual watch, dual receive function or something like that, because on occasion, you know, you'll hear a unit come on, you know, that he's in pursuit on the parkway or something like that, and then you don't hear anything on that, you know, on the main frequency, you just don't hear anything for like 10 minutes. Now, you know as well as I do, if there's a pursuit going on, you know, everybody's going to be on the radio doing things. So it's, I think maybe they switch over to an emergency frequency, or they have, you know, this other frequency, you know, on the radio that they automatically switch to or something like that, because I've heard that a few times. You know, they're, like I said, they're on 155.46, but then they're not. So I don't know if it's an automatic thing or it's controlled by, you know, the base station, or we'll have to do a little more listening on the other frequencies that they have published.
KC2AYC in the net. All right, Dave, good theory. Maybe you could check it out, monitor the frequencies. I'm going to be a little busy this week, but I'm going to note that mentally. It is an agency I do like to monitor, and as soon as I get a chance, I'll maybe throw all the frequencies in one scanner bank as an experiment and just concentrate on that. I'd like to stand by and see if anyone else wants to comment.
N2RDB with a question.
2RDB recognized. Is your question regarding the current topic? Otherwise, I'll just put you on the list. You've got about 2 people ahead of you, unless it's regarding state police.
Yes, it is regarding the state police. I heard you rattle off a couple of frequencies. I have written down 155.46. I just tuned in a few minutes ago. And someone was saying something about 155.565. I was wondering if there was any other frequencies I should know about.
VRA would come. Hey, VRA, you won out. I think there was a double reaching for my records here, which I have in front of me. Let's first.
AB2YLB with a comment on the state police.
Okay, YLB. Stand by one moment. N2VRA, did you have a comment?
N2VRA, yeah, Ed, I did. On 155.460 is also listed as the mobile repeater frequency for the extenders in the vehicle. So when they apparently get out of the car and take their handy-talkie, they're using the repeater in the vehicle to communicate with.
Okay, Frank, thanks for that info. Let's pick up YLB.
Yeah, this is KB2YLB. Mike's the name. Good evening, Ed, and good evening to the net. And regarding to the state police, as you were saying, when they have a pursuit going on, usually what I hear is that they switch over to the state frequency, which is 154.695. Back to you, Ed.
KB2YLB, KC2AYC in the net. Okay, Mike, thanks for that additional information. Very good, something we'll keep an ear on, 154.695, which I have is channel 3, according to the last edition of ScanaMaster. Another frequency you might want to keep your ears on, 154.665, is channel 2, and that's notated as a car-to-car frequency. And one other frequency that's in use statewide is 155.565, which is BCI, which stands for Bureau of Criminal Investigation. Don't know how active it is here in Truebill, but I noticed during certain special events that that frequency becomes active. Stand by if anyone has any additional comments on this subject.
CRA.
P2AYC. Picking up N2VRA, Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. As a matter of fact, just last night, was listening to the scanner late around midnight. There was a car on the Southern State by Robert Moses, westbound and the eastbound side, and there was an MVA involved. Nothing, didn't hear anything on the news about it or anything. However, one thing you might notice when you're listening to the state is that their transmissions are extremely short and right to the point, and that's it. They don't, they just say what they have to say in there, and they're done, you know. So they make very short comms back and forth. I'm sure you've noticed that.
Did they? Let's pick up KC2. BZB. You know, just wanted to add on to what Frank said. That's what makes it, you know, what makes our hobby interesting. Frank mentioned that there was a multi-vehicle accident, didn't hear anything in the news. How many times have all of us heard something that's been a pretty significant accident, but none of the media ever picked it up? This is the comment I wanted to make. Back to net control.
KC2BZB, KC2AYC. Good point. Something people might not know. Tonight seems that I heard mention of Babylon Turnpike. So I know that's the Freeport Roosevelt area. But it seems there were a couple of thugs who did at least two robberies at gunpoint that I know of. And in one of them, they clocked the guy over the head with a gun. And the gun discharged. Nobody was shot, but the gun discharged, and they did get a shell casing at the scene. I don't know, it's a catch-all. It may make the press, it may not. It's kind of interesting. All right, let's stand by if anybody wants to comment any further.
DRA.
Pick up DRA.
No, I have to agree with Joe what he says. There's a lot of things that you hear that's never in the paper or anywhere else. But again, it's a question of, look at the junk that's on the 6 o'clock news. It's just unbelievable. That's my opinion. To crying out loud, if Monica Lewinsky got a flat tire, they dedicate the whole half hour to that. Just nuts. I just wanted to mention that. It's just so, the news is, it's just a verbal inquirer. You know, it's just gotten to the point where, I'll tell you something, I don't know if anybody watches the Channel 21, they have the world news with the BBC. I mean, I think it's on twice, 7 or 7:30, and then it's on again later, 11 o'clock or 11:30 on Channel 21. You know, that's the last good journalism, in my opinion, that's left as far as the TV is concerned. And, you know, that's news the way it used to be. Not the kind of nonsense that's on now. Especially at the top of the hour, if you take Channel 4, which has the highest rating, by the way. Let me drop on that. Now, I'm going to be really silly about this, but, you know, at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, you'll see Sue Simmons, and she'll say, man with three heads drowns off Coney Island. You know, details at 11. And then you don't hear nothing about this, and then the commercial comes on 3 minutes later, and then they'll show you another 10 seconds or something, or mention it about it, and then another commercial comes on, and they'll mention it again. And finally, at the end of the broadcast, somewhere around 25 after the hour, they'll give you 10 seconds worth of information on that subject, and in the meantime, they've advertised it for a minute. It's just totally insane. Back to it.
N2VRA, KC2AYC, and then that.
I think you might mean the ITN news with, I forget her name. She says it so fast. Brenda Dwallywop or something like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's I hope I'm not doubling with you, but yeah, that's some, it's worth looking at. It's not only informative, but it's, you know, it's cut and dry. It's what you want to see. It's not all this nonsense.
KC2AYC in the net. Yeah, they just don't make them like Walter Cronkite anymore. Moving on, I don't know if I hear a station trying to check in. Either increase your power or check that your PL is set to a 136.5. I'll stand by momentarily.
This KC2BHP, Tom. No traffic, no comment.
Okay, Tom, good evening. I just want to clarify the call. Is that KC2 Bravo Hotel Papa?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Tom, welcome to the Tuesday Night Scanner Shortwave Net. I'm at KC2AYC, and I still heard another ka-chunk there. Don't know if anyone else is trying to get in. Let me stand by one more time.
KC2 Delta Sugar X-Ray. The name here is Vinny.
Net would like to recognize KC2 DSX. Vinny, thanks for joining us.
Correct.
Okay, let me pick up something that some of you may have seen this already. Came through the internet from our good friend Morris, KB2PGE. Was there a response to a request that someone had originally put out about, I don't know who put the original posting out, about live scanner rebroadcasts on the internet. And then I sent a subsequent message saying I wish someone would put Connecticut and Westchester or Newark, New Jersey on the internet. Then Morris wrote back with some thoughts as far as listening to it with the regular scanner. Now keep in mind I'm in Valley Stream here, the Queens-Nassau border. Morris wrote, unless you have a cheap scanner with a wet noodle for an antenna, you should be able to listen to Newark loud and clear. The freaks are listed in ScannerMaster and Police Call. Also, the Essex County Prosecutor frequency on 471.3625. It's 471.3625. The PL is 82.5. 82.5 comes in loud and clear in Queens. The rest of the city and the island. All major crimes come over it, especially shootings and other blood and gut stuff.
Please repeat that, N2RDB.
Okay, N2RDB. The Essex County Prosecutor, 471.3625. 471.3625. The PL is 82.5. Okay, REMS, which I believe is Regional Emergency Medical Services, is another one that you want to listen to in Jersey. You didn't give me the frequency, though. I guess you'll have to get ScannerMaster or Police Call. Westchester County PD comes in loud and clear, but they're mostly traffic cops. What you really need to listen to if you want some exciting stuff is New Rochelle, which operates on the same frequency as Malvern. And I'll save you guys the trouble of doing the work. Sometimes, though, that's half the fun, doing the work. Malvern, where do we have you? I know you're here somewhere, Malvern. Okay, 155.130, 155.130. In fact, when I monitor Malvern, I put in their PL because New Rochelle always annoys me. only because I want to listen to Malvern, but okay. Mount Vernon, 460.275. 460.5. I'm going to keep by accident. That's 460.275 in Mount Vernon. And then he has 60 control on 46.14.96. 46.20, 46.14, and 33.96, which comes in better on the island than in the city. Also, the separate cities can all be monitored from all over. Eastchester, Bronxville, Scarsdale, Greenberg, White Plains, PD, and Fire on 453.5. One of the best frequencies to monitor is Empress, that's E-M-P-R-E-S-S, Empress Ambulance on 462.975, 462.975 with the PL of 203.5. If I'm not mistaken, Empress is a private company that contracts out with portions of Westchester County for emergency medical services. Dispatch is still on 46.50. Sometimes the dispatch will simulcast on 484.7625, but most of the time they will not, so we'll suddenly be talking about a fire and you don't have the location. Then Morris makes a comment here, which I was discussing this with N2VRA last week. I don't know if it was on the phone or in person, but he says, "It gets to be a saturation point where there's just so much that any one person can intelligently listen to and understand what's going on and not just get a lot of PD or FP dispatches and have no idea what's happening. The NYPD broadcasts on policescanner.com appear to be a cheap scanner without a PL listening to various Brooklyn, Bronx, Upper Manhattan divisions in SOD. Result, you can miss them all." So I want to thank Morris for his thoughts. And that's a good point. There does get to be a point. There are like these scanners that have 1,000 channels. I've got a Bearcat 9000 with 500 channels, and I never monitor. It's rare that I monitor more than two banks at once, and most of the time only one bank is on. Sometimes late at night, if I'm up like 2, 3 in the morning, and it's snowing out, I'll plug in like 5 banks because I know it's going to be relatively quiet. But for the most part, it's true, there does get to be a point where how much can you intelligently listen to at the same time. Sometimes it's good, there's a little project to size things up. Take what I call my experimental bank. Take a bank and program some things that you don't normally listen to, and monitor it for a day or two or three. I'll stand by and see if anybody wants to comment. All right, so that'd be the lecture for the week. I want to thank Mara for that info. Again, it's KB2PGE. All right, and in that spirit, last week I got out the Scanner Master the day after I got this message from Mara. Interesting note, I programmed all of the newer PD frequencies in my Bearcat 9000, which I'm using the SkyScan indoor disc cone antenna that's manufactured in England. In England, there appears to be some kind of prohibition on scanners, and it's really only legal to monitor the aviation band there. Thus, people really don't put antennas outside. And I don't know if they also get taxed on antennas. I heard that theory floating around somewhere. But like on TV antennas, people come around and see if you have an antenna and then they tax you. Subsequently, this indoor disc cone antenna is quite the rave in England. I've been using it for about 3 or 4 years now, and I have absolutely no problem with Nassau or Suffolk or Nassau County or New York City. And when Suffolk PD was on VHF, it worked fine. Is it the optimum choice of an antenna? No. But given my current situation in this residence. I really couldn't get up there to install another outdoor antenna. So I programmed in Newark, and they came in all scratchy and really wasn't worth listening to. So I went over to the 2005. Frank is arguing it could be the difference in the radios too. You might want to comment on that when I let up. But I went over to the 2005, which I have hooked up to a disc cone, which for argument's sake, I'm going to say it's 50 feet off the ground. It's a two-story high ranch, and then there's like an attic crawl space, which I would say is a half a story. Then the antenna is mounted on like a 10-foot mast on top of that. So I threw the Newark frequencies into the 2005, hooked up to the antenna that's on the roof. Lo and behold, I heard Newark on a scale of 1 to 10, about an 8.5. So if you're having trouble using your telescopic whip or an inferior antenna, if you have access to an outdoor antenna, try it. I'm going to monitor them from time to time to spice things up. It's a little different from what I normally do. All right, let's stand by, see if anyone else wants to comment. All right, hearing nothing. I'll stand by for any additional check-in. 3AYC Internet. No additional check-in. Let's go over to Frank in 2BRA, who had traffic.
KC2AYC and 2VRA. Yeah, good mentioning there, Ed. Some good information. I really don't want to get on the air discussing the differences between double conversion and triple conversion in relation to the EIFs and also in relation to the selectivity and sensitivity to the things that occur. You know, I had spoken to you in great detail about that, and you see what exactly is happening, and that justifies what, you know, why that radio is working the way it is. But it's just too lengthy to get into on the radio. I feel like I'd be broadcasting, so I'm not gonna put that out. Let me drop 1 second. I have 2 bits of information. Okay, Saturday I just decided to throw the 890 XLT, turn it on, yeah, throw it on, and had a little bit of time, about an hour's worth of time to kill, so I put it on and scanned the mill air band. Something is interesting found on 286.2. It sounded like call sign SLAM, which I think is in Vermont. I'm not 100% sure if that was the right call sign, but they were doing practice sorties, bombing tanks, or simulated tanks, or whatever they set up. Maybe they took some old containers from ships or something and set them up somewhere, and they were dropping orange smoke bombs or something. I don't think they were using live ordnance. But that was quite interesting, and that went on for about 45 minutes. And I don't know where it was going on. There was no mention of that. You could hear just about everything going back and forth with the comms between the squad leader and the command, flying command center, whatever they were doing. But that was quite good, and that was on 286.2. The other thing is, I have some interesting information, which also can be found in the February 99 Monitoring Times on page 93. Which has to do with download Uniden user manual. So somebody was asking for a copy of the 890 XLT, the owner's manual, or maybe you're interested in buying a scanner, and if you have a computer and you have access to the net, you can download a user's manual for one of the radios, any radio that Uniden has. Even a radio that you might be thinking of buying. Maybe you want to buy a trunk tracker and say, well, it's too complicated for me or whatever. So let me look at the manual and see what it's all about before I make the purchase. So I have that website right here, which could be most useful. Let me drop N2VRA. I'll repeat it twice. Here we go. You ready to copy? This is for the Uniden User's Manual. To view it on the screen, of course, or you can print it out, whatever. But it's http colon
/, www.uniden.com, /OCS/, service, common spelling, /support, support, .htm. I'll go through it one more time. Drop. This is interesting. I have to get online and check this out. Again, the website for Uniden for owner's manual, http://, www.uniden.com/OCS/service/support.hm. And again, it's in Monitoring Times, the February 99 issue on page 93, which is at the end of the, there's a review in there for the mobile trunker from Radio Shack Pro 2066. A few words to say about that. Anyway, I thought that might be interesting to for those who have access to check it out. Ed, back to you.
2VRA, KC2AYC in the net. Good info there. Thanks for passing it. Especially the Uniden website and good military catch over the weekend. All right, let's stand by for anybody with an additional check-in. Ferguson to WWM will be up momentarily, but I'll make a few announcements before we get to Curtis. I also have a question for N2VRA or anyone else monitoring. But at this time, let me stand by and see if we have any additional check-ins. Okay. But I heard somebody as I was keying up. Oh, and as I was saying, okay. I was at Costco a couple weeks ago up in Massachusetts. Subsequently, last week, I was at the one over here in Rockaway Turnpike. I don't know whether it's Lawrence, Cedarhurst, or Whitmere, whatever they want to call it. But they had the Panasonic nickel-cadmium high-capacity battery. This is the one that comes with four batteries with the auto-off charger. Charger is model number BQ, is in Brooklyn, Queens, 2S. Believe they were 14 and change for the batteries and the charger. Here's my question. I found something interesting on the packaging, and I saved the packaging. I usually save packaging for a few weeks on items so I make sure it's operating properly. And on the back of the packaging, a whole bunch of writing there. Limited 1-year warranty, then they get the warranty in Spanish. Oh, and about six different languages. Then different warnings, the UPC code. Anyhow, up here it says, new batteries must be charged before use. Store batteries in charger when not used. Las baterías nuevas se ven. Okay, you get the point. Same thing in Spanish. So, let's go over that slowly. New batteries must be charged before use. Store batteries in charger when not used. Now I get to the owner's manual, which isn't that big, but again, I think it's written in a couple different ways. Actually, it's not. All right. Stand by, and I'll get to the interesting part here.
I know what you're going to say. About the batteries.
Okay, what am I going to say, Frank? But somewhere in the owner's manual, it says not to leave the batteries in the charger. Constantly in the wall, so what are, they're like contradicting themselves. Of course I can't find it, but let me let it drop and you can pick it up.
Alright, N2VRA, let me see if I have it. Alright, well, there's a couple of things to consider. Number one, when you put the batteries in that charger and you plug it in, you got to realize that in that charger, there's a transformer, obviously, that's converting the AC to DC. And it's going from the 120 volts down to whatever it is, 14 or 13 or something that's the output. I'm not sure of the output. I don't have it in front of me. In any event, there's a transformer in there. So if you if you charge the batteries, it takes 5 hours, and then the lights go off. Supposedly they're fully charged. I think it's a 200 milliamp charge. If you take the disconnect the charger from the wall and leave the batteries in there, the batteries are going to slowly go dead because the transformer itself, while they're in the charging position right there, it'd be like an inductance. The coil will pull the voltage from the battery and bleed it off in the form of heat. But you're not gonna see that or feel it. You're talking about 1 millionth of a degree or something. But one way you can see what I'm talking about is to do this experiment here. Let me drop this. If you have a Uniden scanner that has a low battery indicator on it that beeps, whether it's the 60XLT-1, which uses double A's, or it's a trunk tracker, doesn't matter. What you do is put the AC wall adapter, plug it in to the scanner, but don't plug it into the wall. Just plug the coaxial plug into the radio, but do not plug the wall adapter into the wall. Turn your radio on, and immediately you're going to see, no matter what state your battery is in, if it's fully charged within about a minute or less, you're going to see the low battery indicator come on. It's going to start beeping on you. That's because the wall charger is acting like an inductance to the current that's flowing in the battery. So that'll just, you know, you can actually discharge the battery by doing that, turning the radio on and letting it run out like that. It won't take long for that to happen. So as far as leaving the batteries inside the charger is, bottom line is, when you after you charge them, take them out and put them in the device that you charged them for. And don't leave them. And another thing to consider, too, is that even though you charge them and they're fully charged, if you put them on a table and let them sit there for 3 or 4 days, they're going to lose more than 50% of their capacity. They discharge very quickly. So I'm not really 100% happy with those 1,100 milliamp batteries. I know that you have to really let them go down low before you charge them again. Otherwise, you're going to end up with memory problems rather quickly. Drop. I noticed that the life of the 1,100 milliamp Panasonics running in the 60XLT-1 continuously at a low volume was probably somewhere along the line of about 10 hours maximum of use. And alkalines will give you about 20 hours, almost double. And the standard 600 milliamp NECADs will probably run about 6 or 7 hours. So there is an improvement over the standard size NECAD, just the fact that these are 1,100 milliamps. But just the fact that the low battery indicator is coming on doesn't mean that the batteries are completely discharged. There's four batteries, for example, in the 60XLT, each battery is rated at 1.25 volts. So if you add that up, you know, what do you got there, 3 volts? What is it? 4.5, right? 1.25 times, wait a minute, it's getting late here. Do that math for me, Ed. What's 1.25 times 4? All right, 5 volts. Hang on a second. According to the owner's manual and some of the specs, it's 5 volts nominal. That's what it'll operate at. When it drops to like 4.3 volts, the low battery indicator comes on. And that just, it just tells you that there's not enough voltage there to make the scanner happy. But believe me, if you take those batteries out of there and put it in a another device, perhaps a transistor radio that takes double A's, you'll see that there's many hours left in those batteries. So what happens is people are not allowing them to discharge enough and then charging them again, and before long, they become useless. My 1,100 milliamp batteries, I have a set right now. If I got 6 hours out of them, I'd be happy. So they're pretty well shot. And they're about a year old. One thing I've been using is a flashlight that takes 4 AA's, same size as these. And after they're in the radio, every third time I charge them, I put them in the flashlight and leave them on until the light goes out, and then charge them again. Try to condition them to some way. So anyway, go ahead, Ed. I don't know what else you want to say about this.
you got the floor there. KC2AYC and 2VRA.
2VRA, KC2AYC.